faith, we're on Yirmiyahu chapter 19, Perek Yutes. The previous Perek, we talked about Yirmiyahu making a sign for the people using a mill of a yotzer. Hineka chomer biyad a yotzer, a potter's mill. So you turn the wheels with your feet, and you direct the form of the pottery with your hands, and this is what Yirmiyahu calls man in the hands of God, and that obviously this does not mean that we in our prayer that we say on Kol Nidre we don't refer to the fact that man is just a robot in God's hands, just waiting to be formed, and act out a preordained and predetermined destiny. This is not what chapter 18, nor the prayer on Yom Kippur is about. What it means is that God formed us and gave us perfect potential, mm-hmm. and it's up to us to have the free will to use that form and be a good vessel. Mm-hmm. This, therefore, would resemble very much chapter 5 of Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu refers to a vineyard that is set by a vintner, and he removes all the stones, and he plows, and he harvests, and he sows the finest seeds, and what does the vineyard come off forth with? Raisins. It doesn't produce good grapes. In other words, that man has disappointed God, so to say. Now, since God knows the future, what does it mean to disappoint God? Well, this Shabbos we'll read in the Torah that God looked over mankind and said, I regret creating mankind. So there's a story in the Talmud of a heretic who came over to one of the rabbis and said, your God doesn't know the future. Your God is imperfect. Your God is not as strong as our other gods who know what man is going to do and predetermines man's destiny. So he said, why do you say this? He goes, because look, it says that God regrets creating man. Didn't he know that man had this potential to be so evil? So he said to him, let me ask you this question. Have you had any children? And he said, yes. And he goes, what did you do when your child was born? He said, I made a beautiful festival, and I made a celebration. He goes, don't you know your child is going to die one day? Why did you make a celebration when he's born? He's going to die. Everybody dies. So why do you celebrate when he's born? He goes, well, at the time he's born, it was celebratory. He goes, it's the same with God. God created us knowing that we're going to sin. He speaks to us, we call Kedushon B'nei Adam. He speaks to us in the form of man. So when that potential for good, the potential for evil did not stop God from creating us. Mm-hmm. It is only in our free will. We say, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyiras shamayim. It's only our free will. Now, there are many impediments to free will. Addiction causes an impediment to free will. When someone is addicted to gambling, to alcohol, to stealing, to money, to any many things that drive us, that make it more difficult to make the right decision. Some people have, everyone has their own cheshbon of how they keep the mitzvah. So the last chapter talked about Yirmiyahu setting up this potter's wheel as a sign of everyone has a different test, a different form that they take. And it's all putty in God's hands, and now we have to work with what God gave us. Chapter 19 continues with this theme. That's why I gave you the review. Chapter 19 continues with this theme. Very important Yom Kippur idea that God is gave us potential. Now we have to take that last final step of perfecting what God gave us. As God told Cain, if you try harder, im tetiv se'es. If you try harder, you'll be as good as your brother. V'im lav lepetachatas roveitz. If not, I know what's festering in your heart. Now, couldn't God have appeased Cain in that story by saying, you know, Cain, you're the man. I'm gonna give you all the respect you want. I'm going to bless you just as much as I blessed your brother. God could have avoided the first murder by just talking to Cain differently. But God doesn't work with us that way. God doesn't give us any free rides like that, especially not in the condition that Cain was in. The Gemara calls that the bread of shame, lechem kisufa, that God gives you a free ride. God says, I want you to work at it. I want you to work hard. God created Adam and Eve, this week's Parsha, with that in mind, by putting them in the garden. It says, la'avda u'lishamra. To work and to guard it. Man was not put on this earth to just sit in the Garden of Eden and let man fall from the sky and just enjoy the delights of Gan Eden. He was supposed to work at it. The eating from the tree represents mankind's desire to have a free ride at reaching that perfection. Just eat from the tree, be some killing him, and you'll be like God. Just eat from the tree, and it all comes magically and automatically. Wrong. You have to work at it. So this is what these prophecies are about, that of course that Yirmiyahu is complaining about the fact that man has turned away from his position and his potential and his the hopes that Hashem had for mankind. And now, I continue with Yirmiyahu acting out a vision. Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel do this more than any of the prophets, where they show something, and then we have to act out that idea. We saw it already earlier in the first chapter. Remember, Yirmiyahu was shown a staff or a club sprouting almonds. Now he has to go interpret, what does this mean? Or he's shown a pot bubbling or starting to bubble with, and it's facing the north. The prophet, more than any other, who speaks to Bnei Yisrael this way is Zechariah. Zechariah has 13 visions, and he has to go out and interpret the vision for the people. His message is for the present and the future. So this is the type of prophecy. Yechezkel is famous for this. Hosea has a little bit of this. And they're symbolic prophecies. Let's see what this next symbolic prophecy is about. I'm going to start us off with Kor Marsha. That word is chores. He says, go out and purchase a bakbuk. That's a modern word, right?
Yeah.
What is a bakbuk, Shifra? A bottle, right? Go out and buy a bottle, right? It's not a very common biblical word, but it's a rather easy modern word. Okay. The targum is zelua, which means a bottle. Okay. And it should be made of pottery, which was from the last chapter. Right? It's that potter's wheel. Go to one of them and get a bakbuk. Umizikneya am umizikneya kohanim. And purchase it. Right? But go with the mizikne ha'am. In other words, the pasuk should be what we call sarsehu farshehu. Pasuk should be read, Kor Amar Hashem, haloch im zikne ha'am vizikne ha'kohanim v'konisa bakbuk yotzei chores. Okay? It doesn't mean purchase a bottle from the zikanim. Mm-hmm. It means take zikanim with you, take kohanim with you, right, and go and purchase this bottle. V'yatzasa el gei ben hinom asher pesach shar hacharsis v'karasa sham es advarim asher adeber elecha. Go out to the valley of the son of Hinom, that's in the entrance of what's called shar hacharsis. Notice the play on word from cheres in pasuk aleph to shar hacharsis, which was the gate of Yerushalayim. I'll explain where it is in a moment. You probably, if you have some familiarity with Yerushalayim, I'll tell you where to find it. And it was called this because there was a lot of pottery, broken pottery, or just the topography was filled with the stuff from which you make pottery. So it's called Shar HaCharsis. Now, when you approach the Yaffa Gate, right? At the Yaffa Gate, you all see where we are right now? Okay, if you would keep going in, so you go through the Arab Shuk straight through into the Kotel, or you make the right and you go around Shar Tzion and all the other way, right? When you go, instead of going into the old city from the Yaffa Gate, go downhill, right, where the old buses go, right? Mm-hmm. To the right, they have all these concerts and they have the art festivals there. Remember we passed that area, right? You go down and you go back up. where the buses go to leave you off at the Kotel. You know, see what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
They put that new shopping center there where you had the Hamnik's bus mitzvah, yeah. Remember? Okay. So, I'm sure you can picture it, right? That's Gay Ben Hinnom. That's the Valley of Hinnom.
Below the shopping center?
Yes.
The steps?
Go all the way down the steps. Now that is that's called the new City of David. They made beautiful apartments there that nobody lives in there now. Don't walk there. That's where you're walking back to the David Citadel and the King David Hotel. Don't walk there. Go down. Let's push it. Straight down. And to the left is the mountain towards Har Habayis, right? To the right is this big valley. And you can look down. It's a big drop. And they have all these festivals there and all these concerts. And there are benches. Anyway, that's called Gay Ben Hinnom. The reason for them calling it that, that's what it was called. But in ancient times, as Yirmiyahu points out a few times in his book, the Jews used to follow the terrible practice of sacrificing children to their gods.
Well, that's what everybody was doing.
Chapter 7, yes. But chapter 7 in this book, he says, why do you kill your children, Gay Ben Hinnom? I'm going to change the name to Gay Harega, the Valley of Murder.
Okay.
So he says, so that's why we call hell Gehenna.
Mm-hmm.
Gay Hinnom. We take out the word Ben, but he says Gay. See the word, V'yatsasa el Gay Ben Hinnom. Take out the word Ben, and you have Gehenna.
Right.
You see it? So that's what we call the worst place on earth. It's right outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, and he says, call all these things to the people. Tell the people, because this was a terribly sinful place for the Jews. Imagine Yirmiyahu, it's a difficult enough time to get people to keep Shabbos, keep kosher. Mm-hmm. He's trying to deal with murderers. Okay? V'amarta Shimu Dvar Hashem Malchei Yehuda V'Yoshvei Yerushalayim. Now listen to the word of God, kings of Yehuda and those who reside in Yerushalayim. Kol Amar Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael. Hineni Mevi Ra'ah Al HaMakom Hazeh Asher Kol Shomot Titzalna Oznav. I am going to bring evil upon this place that when people hear it, their ears will tingle. Now this terminology, Titzalna Oznav. Anyone say, does it ring a bell? Excuse the pun. Their ears will ring. What's the bell that should not such an amazing thing, it's about the ears should ring. So in Shmuel Aleph, the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, when Eli's sons became so wicked, and Hashem appeared to Shmuel in a dream at night, remember we used to reenact that play, Shmuel. So Hashem calls Shmuel in the night. He keeps thinking that it's Eli calling him. Finally, when Hashem talks to Shmuel, he says, what I'm about to do, when people hear that, their ears will tingle. Asher kol shom'o titzileno shtei oznav. Right? Here it's titzalna oznav. Right? When the people hear what I'm going to do, their ears will ring. It means, wow, how could this be? Right? What is it? In both cases, Shmuel, it's the destruction of Shiloh. Here it's the destruction of Yerushalayim. What's so amazing? There are lots of holy cities that have been destroyed in history. What do you think? Why does it say, whoever hears this, their ears will ring. Their ears will tingle. What do you think? What's unusual about this is that a god in the ancient world, not that there is any other god before besides Hashem, but in the eyes of a Moabite, when their Moabite god gets angry with his people, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't destroy his own temple. And why does he get angry with his people? Because you're not serving me enough. You're not giving me enough wine and oil and corn and grain. Right? We don't serve Hashem with food. We serve Hashem with our deeds, with how we treat each other, right? So what's the unusual thing here is that God destroys his own temple. Do you understand the gravity of such a thing? Hashem wills his own temple to be destroyed. No other ancient religion has such a configuration. If the Moabite temple is destroyed by the Ammonite army, what does that mean?
That the Ammonite god was stronger.
Right. The Ammonite god overpowered our god. And that's why our temple was destroyed. Following? No one ever writes in their ancient writings, our God was angry with us, so he took his anger out on this temple. What they write is, our God was weakened because we didn't serve him enough. And because he got weakened, the other God that the other people worshipped, because, you know, the Havdil, we're not so different. Don't we also say that Hashem is strengthened to help us more when we keep mitzvahs?
Yeah.
Right? But it's different, because Hashem says, I will not suffer this my temple to remain standing in the face of your
iniquity.
As opposed to the ancients that said, our God was weakened by our iniquity and was not strong enough. Our God was our God was weakened by our iniquity and therefore was not able to save us.
Okay.
There's not a subtle difference between this and our opinion is that Hashem was kaviyochol weakened. He's not weakened. He's the same Hashem whether we do a mitzvah or not. But the because of our misbehavior, so to say, we have not. We don't deserve that God's support. So this is what he means.
They probably write in their writings that their God was stronger than ours.
Sure. When you see the Syrians conquer us?
They write that their God...
Of course. Of course. And when some of them are defeated by us, they write that our God is... It's like any other God. But no one writes that our God... willfully destroy that by his own temple.
Right. It's always someone else's fault.
Right.
Someone else was stronger.
Right. No God wants his own temple destroyed. Okay. Talk more. Okay. Let's read Pasuk Dalet. Okay, it says Ya'an Asher Azavuni. This is why this is happening. They left me, that's from back to chapter 2. Vayinakru es hamakom hazeh. You see the shorish of the word vayinakru? What is it? Yeah, like nachri. They made it asahu nachri b'fanai. Yeah. Very unusual verb. You see it? Vayinakru. They made this to be strange. They made it estranged. Okay? They worshipped and they offered incense to gods they never knew. Their fathers and all the kings of Yehuda did these things. And they filled this place with innocent blood. What innocent blood? You have to read the pasuk in Malachim to understand what he means by this. Innocent blood of the people who refused to worship. Got that? It says, Menashe filled Yerushalayim with the blood of the people who refused to worship his Avodah Zarah. What a disgusting thing. Okay. Very famous pasuk coming up. Chana, would you like to read the pasuk? Hey. Uvanu?
Uvanu et b'mo'ot abahar yisro et b'nehem ba'es alot b'ahar asher lo tzivisi ve'lo dibarti ve'lo
So they built high places to the Baal. Those were gods. For every thing they needed had a separate Baal. It was a rain Baal, the sun Baal. It was the grain Baal. There was the sea Baal. You know, every Baal was a master of a particular domain. Avram was the one who figured that all these different Baals must have only one god in charge of all of them, right? And what are they doing? They're burning their children to this Baal. Lo tzivisi, I never commanded this. Lo dibarti, I never said it. Velo olsa alibi, it never came into my heart. Gemara in Tainus says that this refers to three events in history. What would it be? Lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, velo olsa alibi. Which three people might this refer to? I never commanded someone to kill their child. It never came in my heart. So one is obvious.
I'm just thinking I should.
Akedah. One of these three refers to the Akedah. Right? Lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, lo osalibiga refers to Abraham. I never commanded him to kill his son. I commanded him to take him up to a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lo dibarti, what's that talking about? Who else did something like that in history? Hashem says, what did you do? To fulfill my word? What?
Why are you picking on me? I'll stop coming if you do that. This is
cool. Yiftach. Yiftach. Remember Yiftach?
Yes.
He took his daughter and he said the first thing that comes out of the house, mm-hmm. I'll offer up as an offering. Alright? So he says, that was Loki Barati. Lo Salibi, that's a harder one. That's the king of Moab who sacrificed his son to his god when he was fighting a battle against the Jews. So actually the Gemara seems to imply, as it's pretty much the pshat, that he wasn't just sacrificing that child to the god of Moab, he was sacrificing the child to the god of Israel. Mm-hmm. He saw that the war was turning against him, so he said, you know what? Let me offer a sacrifice to their god. Right? By the way, that's exactly what Menashe did. Why did Menashe fill Israel with so much of Ozara? He started worshipping Assyrian gods, thinking that if I'm worshipping the gods of the Assyrians, they'll leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so this pasuk means he's going down to Gate Ben-Hinnom where the people are offering their children. Now look, we live in a time where this is more than any time since then, perhaps, is profoundly being observed in the Arab world. Isn't it? They're sacrificing their children, aren't they? Mm-hmm. When it first started happening, the whole world was amazed. How can these women speak glowingly about hoping that their other children will also do the same? But now it's been mainstream. Everyone's doing it. It's amazing. Vav. Lochain hine yamim ba'im nu Hashem v'lo yikare l'makom hazeh ol ha'tofes v'gei ben hinom ki im gei ha'hareka. Now this goes back to Perek Zayin. Remember, I told you that this we rename it, right? Uvakosi es atzas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim b'makom hazeh. You see that word uvakosi, right? Bakosi. Do you see what's the point of using this word? I will make it empty. As Rashi says, there's a pasuk like it in Sefer Nachum. Buka umuvlaka. Buka umavuka umuvlaka. Very strange pasuk, yes. Very empty. Devoid. Nachum has a lot of psukim like that. He uses Hebrew words that certainly not found very often in other parts of Tanakh. But buka umavuka umuvlaka. So that's in Nachum. So here the perek beis pasuk ilav buka umavuka umuvlaka leiv nameis upik bekayim v'chal chalav v'chol masnayim ufnei chulam kibtzu farur. Wow. Okay, it means utter emptiness. So, but do you see another play on words from the beginning of this parak? Uvakosi. Right, let's do another few psukim and try to get
the bakbuk.
Right, the bakbuk, that bottle that he took originally. Sometimes a prophecy is based on the nature of a bottle. What is it about a bottle that should be a prophecy? Sometimes it's not the nature of the thing, it's the word. Right? Like a machlokes between Rashi and the Rosh about having symbolic foods on Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. What is the idea of symbolic foods? Is it the nature of the food? Or is it the name of the food?
It's both.
Both? You look at the chart that you say in Rosh Hashanah, you say, may this apple and honey be a sweet year for me. That's the nature of the food. There's nothing about tapuach, shetat piach hayashana. We don't say that. But when you take karti, or you take silka, you say...
Karti?
Karti is like leeks. Okay. So if you, may everything evil be cut off from me. may you misalek all bad gzerot from me.
Or carrots in Yiddish is merin.
Right. Rubia, merin. So there it's not, may my life be as orange as a carrot. Right? It's like may my life be merin, the word. So some prophecies, like the girdle prophecy that we had last time, where he wears a girdle and he keeps the mountain for a long time, that prophecy is by the nature of the girdle. It hugs you and it stays tight until you remove it. So Hashem was tight around you and you removed him from yourself. That's the nature of the thing. Mm-hmm. But so far with this pasuk, it seems that the prophecy of the bakbuk is not because of the nature of a bakbuk, but the word. Now, Yirmiyahu does not mince words. You know, people don't like to hear a very harsh rebuke. This is harsh rebuke of what's going to happen. And the other devastation. Right? Not just that they'll be killed, but the way they'll be, it's just really very, 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 very harsh. And he says, I will despoil this place. I'll make it empty. I'll make this place so desolate that when people walk by, they'll whistle. They'll go... Mm-hmm. Right?
What does Lasrika mean? Is this just a play on words? Lasrika, Yishrok?
Yishrok. The word is Shreka. Yeah. Yishrok.
Yeah, it's like
Yishama, Yisham. Shreka means a wonderment. Yishrok means to whistle.
No, but he's not like purposely using the same like root?
I'm sure, certainly.
Poetically?
Absolutely. It's the same word.
Huh?
It's the same word.
It's the same root.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so l'shama v'lishreka, yishom v'yishrok.
Right.
See? So, in other words, he took two nouns and made them verbs of what people will do when they see what happens in Yerushalayim. Okay, let me read test. V'achaltim. This pasuk has almost an exact replica in the Torah. In the Torah Chedvar. Right? Almost an exact replica. In fact, I often quote a particular Rebbe at YU who always loved to find every positive prophecy, even in the curses in the Torah. So one Talmud said, Rebbe, where do you have a positive prophecy in this? Right? So he said, when we came to America, the Rabbonim came to America in the 20s and the 30s, he said, many of their children quickly moved away from Yiddishkeit. Rabbi Megam Shleiman, some of the great, great Gedolim of the 30s, 40s, who lived into the 70s, even into the 80s, had relatives who were fry. Some children, some nieces, nephews. It happened. This is what came to the Golden of Medina. So he said that when you came to America, you couldn't eat in your children's home. Right? So what is this pasuk saying?
Eventually, your children will be
chosen
and you'll be able to eat their meat.
It says, b'sar b'neihem. You'll eat your children's basar. And your son's and daughter's basar.
But in context of the rest of this course, it course. Seems like they're engaging in cannibalism.
No, of course. I know. It's called drash.
Okay.
The drash is, you'll be able to go to your child's house and eat their meat. Right? It's a bracha. Because when the rabbis came to America, you couldn't go and you couldn't drink water in your children's house. So, you'll be able to go to your children and they'll... Who is a Jew? Someone whose grandchildren are Jewish. So, okay, so that's the, anyway, it's a pasuk almost exactly like this in the Torah of Perek Chav Ches in Sefer Devarim, where and it's quite obvious that Yirmiyahu is taking pesukim in this perek and as well as others straight out of the Torah of Sefer Devarim. So then Hashem tells him, read pasuk Yud Chana, would you? Shavarta.
Yud Beis?
Yud. Pasuk Yud.
Yud?
Pasuk Yud.
Pasuk Yud.
No. No, it's good.
No.
also here.
Mishavarto?
Mishavarto abakbuk vehine ahanasim ha'orachim oto.
So, but I just want to give you a grammatical point. The word is not vishavarta. The word is vishavarta. You know, I can tell you. You see that? No, you see that little note there under the tuf? That's a notation of
shavarta.
Yeah, but all those. Look, you don't have to know what the notation tells you. You just have to know the notation. Vishavarta means you broke in past tense. Vishavarta. When the accent is at the end, means you will break. You should break. It's the same in Kriya Shema. It's not V'yohavta Eis Hashem Elokecha. That means you loved your God. V'yohavta Eis Hashem Elokecha means you shall love your God. V'yosavta Digonecha. You will take the... Asavta means you did. It's a biblical form known as the Vav HaYipuch, where the Vav in the beginning of a word
changes
tense from past... Shavarta is past to future, and it does the opposite. More famous. Yikach means he will take. Vayikach means he took. Yomar, or Yomer, means he will say. Vayomer means he said. Okay, so that's the Vav Vayipuch that turns past to present, past to future, and future back to past. Okay. V'shavarta. Now go and break the bakbuk. If it's made of Yirmiyahu, Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, now break the bakbuk in front of all those people who are watching with you. Take it and smash it. V'amarta aleihem, kor mar Hashem tzvakos, kocha eshboris ha'amazeh ve'esayir hazoz, kashir yishboris kli ha'yotzer, hasher lo yuchal ha'herafei od, uvesofes yikberu me'in makom likbor. Thus will I destroy this city. Now this is a very, very devastating prophecy here, because he says, just like you can not fix this kli cheres. Glass you can fix, but the kli cheres you can't. It can't be reformed after it's been broken. So, just like you can't break that, you can't reform this, give it a new form, so too, kashir yishbor es kli yotzer, so too, that you will not be able to fix this city after I do to it. What?
Excuse me, any lone souls, a major problem with a hot soul.
Okay, I'll come to the phone. All right, so that is the his message. Okay, so he says, "I'm going to do the same."
What?
Okay.
Why are we reading that?